It is Friday, January 30th, 2026. Welcome back to The Deep Dive. And if you're listening to this right now, and I really hope you are, you might want to pull over. Find a chair, or at least, you know, stop scrolling for a minute. We have a stack of reports today that are, well, they're a little anxiety-inducing.
Volatile is definitely the word I'd use. It's been a very loud 24 hours in the world of InfoSec and finance.
Loud is an understatement. We're looking at a code red security situation affecting 17.5 million people, a financial Black Friday where Bitcoin just drove off a cliff, and then we've got some mind-bending leaps in tech.
It really is a perfect storm. You have the present dangers of technology colliding right with the future promises of it, all on a single Friday.
So our mission today is simple. We're going to navigate you through this mess. We're working off the Ting Game Intel report, which dropped this morning.
And if there's a common thread here, it's infrastructure, whether it's the infrastructure of your social media, the economy, or, well, your own nervous system. It's all being tested.
I like that framing. Infrastructure is boring until it breaks. So let's start with the scary stuff. The report flags a code red for Instagram.
Right.
And honestly, my first thought was, okay, another day, another data leak. You know, we see these headlines every week. Why is this one a catastrophe?
It's a fair skepticism. Usually when we hear a leak, it's just scraping. Someone using a bot to copy public info.
Yeah, stuff I can see anyway.
Exactly. But this hacker, Solonic, they did something different. They didn't come through the front door. They dismantled the lock on the service entrance.
The service entrance being the API.
The API, yeah. Think of an API like a waiter. You ask for your data, the waiter goes to the kitchen, the database, and brings it back. Solonic didn't talk to the waiter.
They just walked into the kitchen.
They walked straight into the kitchen. The report mentions a zero-day vulnerability in the account recovery tool. And because of that, they got root-level privileges.
So they didn't just get usernames.
No, they got the metadata behind the account. Linked phone numbers, hidden recovery emails, registered location data.
That's the code red part. That's the code red part. If I have your public handle, I can annoy you. If I have your private cell number and your location history, I can basically become you.
Which leads to what? What's the immediate threat?
Precision phishing. This isn't the dear sir madam spam we all ignore.
All right.
It's context aware. They know you posted from a cafe in Paris yesterday. So they craft a message that says, login attempt detected in Paris. Click here.
That actually sounds like something I would click.
Most people would. It bypasses your mental spam filter. But the darker threat for high-value targets is SIM swapping.
Okay, I hear about SIM swapping, but how does having my number on a list help them actually swap my SIM card?
It gives them the ammo. They have your number, your personal details. They call up your phone carrier, pretend to be you, and say they lost their phone.
And if the carrier falls for it,
your phone goes dead. The hacker's phone lights up with your number, and suddenly they're getting your texts, including your two-factor authentication codes.
This is why the report is just screaming about SMS 2FA. Yes. So let's talk about the digital fortress protocol it suggests. Step one is kill active sessions, which, you know, makes sense.
Sure. Log everyone out.
But step two feels wrong to people. It says turn off SMS 2FA.
Yeah, that does feel weird. We've been told for years to turn it on.
And you should have 2FA, but the type matters. SMS is built on a protocol from the 1970s. It has basically no encryption. It's like using a 50-year-old lock on a digital vault.
So we need to divorce our security from our phone number.
Precisely. You need to switch to an authenticator app, like Google Authenticator or Authy. These generate a code on your phone's processor. The code never travels over the network.
Okay, that's a clear distinction. Local codes versus network codes. What's next?
Step three, your email. The report suggests creating a fresh, encrypted email-like Proton Mail and using it only for social media recovery.
A dedicated recovery bunker.
Exactly. Don't use it for anything else. And finally, step four, backup codes.
The 8-digit codes you get in settings.
Yes. Generate them, write them on paper, and put that paper in a drawer. Do not take a screenshot.
Because if your phone is compromised, the notes are compromised.
Paper is unhackable.
I like that. Paper is unhackable. Okay, everyone, pause the audio if you need to. Seriously, go change your settings. We'll wait.
Okay.
Okay. Moving on. From the fragility of our identity to the fragility of the markets.
Yes, let's talk about Black Friday.
The chart is just ugly. Bitcoin was flirting with 95K and then boom. 4 hours later, it's at 81,000.
$1.6 billion in liquidations. Wiped out.
The report blames something called digital inflation. I have to stop you there. That sounds like a buzzword.
It sounds like one, but it's becoming a very real metric that the Fed is watching. We have to look at what Jerome Powell said. He linked interest rates directly to AI infrastructure.
Wait, how does a chatbot connect my mortgage rate?
It's all about energy. The consumer price index inflation is heavily weighted by energy prices, and AI is incredibly energy hungry.
Right, I've read about this. The data centers are putting a huge strain on the power grid.
An unprecedented strain. So when demand for electricity goes up that fast, the price goes up. And since energy is a core input for everything, if energy gets expensive...
Everything gets expensive. Wow. So because tech is booming, my electricity bill goes up, inflation stays high, and the Fed can't cut rates.
That is the digital inflation thesis in a nutshell. And when Powell hinted that rates might stay high in 2026 because of this, the risk-on investors got spooked.
So that's the macro picture. But the report says a microcatalyst actually lit the fuse, the ancient whales.
This is the stuff of crypto thrillers, really. On-chain data flagged two wallets that had been dormant since 2014.
Dinoscore coins.
Very early days. They suddenly woke up and moved 5,000 Bitcoin to Coinbase.
Okay, but 5,000 Bitcoin is a lot of money, $400 million or so. But is that really enough to crash a trillion-dollar asset?
That's the right question. It's not about the volume, it's the signal. When a holder who has waited 12 years moves coins to an exchange, it tells the market one thing. I am about to sell.
It's pure psychology.
It triggers fear. But structurally, it triggers a liquidation cascade.
Explain that.
Most aggressive traders are using leverage. They're borrowing to bet big. So if the price drops just 2% from that whale selling, they get a margin call.
And the exchange automatically sells their Bitcoin to cover the debt.
Which drives the price down further.
Which triggers the next guy's margin call.
It's a domino effect. That 5,000 BTC sale might have only been the first push.
Brutal. So where are we now?
On a knife's edge. Support is at 80,800. If we lose that, we could go a lot lower.
All right. Well, speaking of the companies causing all this digital inflation, let's talk about NVIDIA.
They're spending a lot of money, but it's very targeted. Another $2 billion into a company called CoreWeave.
CoreWeave? They're a cloud company, but why them? Why not Amazon or Google?
It's a classic kingmaker strategy. CoreWeave focuses exclusively on GPU computing for AI. Amazon and Google do everything. CoreWeave just does the heavy lifting.
And NVIDIA is making sure they get the best toys first.
Precisely. By investing this heavily, NVIDIA is ensuring its newest, most powerful chips, the Blackwell B200s, go to CoreWeave first. It's a checkmate move.
So if you're an AI startup and you need the best chips,
you have to go to CoreWeave. NVIDIA is freezing out its competitors by controlling the supply chain. They control the oil of the 21st century, which is compute power.
Ruthless. Okay, let's bring it down to the consumer level. The report highlights the new OnePlus Turbo 6 phone.
Ah, yes. This is the part of the report that actually made me smile. Finally, a battery breakthrough that isn't just vaporware.
I'm looking at the specs and it feels like a typo. A 9,000 millirack battery in a phone that's 8.9 millimeters thick. How?
It's chemistry. We've been stuck on lithium iron for a decade. The OnePlus uses a silicon carbon anode.
I remember hearing about silicon anodes in EVs, but the problem was swelling, right?
Yeah.
The battery would literally expand.
Exactly. Silicon can hold 10 times more lithium ions than graphite, which is great for density, but it expands up to 300% when it charges. In a phone, that would be explosive.
So how'd they fix it?
That's the carbon part. They use a kind of nano sponge made of carbon that contains the silicon. It lets it expand and contract on a tiny scale without changing the battery's overall size.
Wow. So we get the power without the, you know, the explosion.
Mm-hmm.
But does it actually matter in the real world?
Well, the report has a benchmark. They stress tested it playing Call of Duty, Warzone Mobile, high graphics, max brightness.
Okay, lay it on me.
The Samsung Galaxy S26 Ultra died after 4 hours and 20 minutes.
Which is pretty good for that load.
The OnePlus Turbo 6 lasted 8 hours and 45 minutes.
Get out. That is double.
It is the end of power banks. You can go through a heavy day of usage and still have 40% left when you go to bed. It just shifts the paradigm. You stop looking for outlets.
That's the dream. If this goes mainstream, Apple and Samsung are in trouble.
They will have to adapt.
Now, speaking of competition,
yeah,
let's talk gaming. There's a leak about a PlayStation 5 Pro Slim.
Project Trinity S. Yeah, it seems Sony isn't done with the PS5 generation.
But the Pro just came out.
Yeah.
Why a Slim version so soon?
It's the chip manufacturing. The leak suggests they're moving to 2-nanometer lithography. Smaller transistors mean less heat and less power for the same performance.
So they can pack that 33 teraflops of power into a much smaller box.
Exactly. And the timing is key. They want this out for GTA 6 in late 2026.
Of course. The game that will move millions of consoles. But, and this is where it gets really strange.
Yeah.
We might be approaching a point where using a controller is considered retro.
This is the story that really stuck with me.
Neuralink. We've heard about it for years, but this update is different. They released a video of their second patient, N2, playing Elden Ring.
And Elden Ring is not a casual game. It requires, you know, precision timing.
And he's playing with no hands. Just thoughts.
Just thoughts.
But here's the part that blew my mind. The report says he wasn't just playing. He was faster than a pro gamer using a controller. How is that even possible?
It comes down to biological input lag. We think of ourselves as fast, but our bodies are actually quite slow.
Speak for yourself.
No, really. When your brain decides to attack, that signal has to travel down your spinal cord, through your arm, trigger a muscle, which moves your finger to press a button.
Which we think of as instant, but...
it's an eternity. Maybe 150 milliseconds. The Neuralink bypasses all the meat. It reads the intention in the motor cortex and beams it via Bluetooth directly to the computer.
So it skips the spine and the arm entirely.
Completely, and they measured it. The brain command to in-game action was 15 milliseconds faster than a physical hand could react.
15 milliseconds.
Yeah.
In a fighting game, that's the difference between winning and losing.
It is. And this raises a massive ethical question. Is this cheating?
It feels like it. It's mechanical doping for gaming.
The report speculates that esports might have to split. You'll have a biological division and a cyborg division.
And you know the cyborg division will be more popular because the plays will be superhuman.
It's inevitable. But here's the bigger implication. Zoom out from gaming. If a brain interface lets you interact with a computer faster, process data faster, communicate with AI faster, are we approaching a moment where not having an implant is a disability in the workplace?
Oh, wow.
I mean, imagine a coder who writes at the speed of thought. An air traffic controller who never moves their hands. If the cyborg is 30% more efficient than the natural human, who gets the job?
That is a chilling thought. The unaugmented human becomes obsolete.
It's a harsh way to put it, but the market usually chooses efficiency. We're looking at a world where getting good might just mean getting surgery.
That is a lot to process. We started with Instagram hacks and ended with the potential obsolescence of the human body.
It's all infrastructure. Digital pipes, battery pipes, and now biological pipes.
Well, while you're still purely biological, use those slow, fleshy thumbs to go check your 2FA settings.
Please do it now. Kill the SMS. Get an authenticator app.
So a quick recap. Verify your security, watch out for ancient whales, and get ready for batteries that last all day. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.
See you then.